Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 128, part 2, Victorious Faith. Today is Sunday, January 3rd, 2010. Happy New Year. There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can feel out like you've never felt before. Like a child who trusts his father you want. Hold out your head in faith. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you need food in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within the message that are posted there, so you'll be able to link to those scripture links. Be sure to join us for both episodes, part one on Friday and the conclusion, part two on Sunday. We're going to start the month out with Victorious Faith. Is this thing from God? Rule and reward of serving Jesus. Comfort and consistency. Our trials and our divine deliverances. Again, have a great month. We'll see you back here for each episode. Have a great year in 2010. God bless you.
But he wanted to recover from the sickness of heart.
He had been around all these Pharisees and all these Sadducees, and they had their rules and they had their regulations and they had their rituals and they had all their certain way to move in this and their certain way to move in that. And you know, they just got all puffed up in what they knew. You know, I'll tell you something. The more I'm in the Lord, the less I know. I used to know it all. Now I don't know much. And you know something? I think I'm getting more scriptural every day because it says, be careful when you think you know something. Know nothing at all. Saving knowing Christ, crucified, buried, and rose again. That's all I have to know. And I'll tell you what, if we start getting back to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to see people brought in. You're going to see people healed in their minds, people healed in their spirits, people coming together into oneness. And that's what you're going to see. Say amen, somebody. Now, in the end times, there's going to be a whole lot of folks ain't going to go that way. They don't want to be healed. They want to go on in a sort of a ritualistic type of thing. And then when the Holy Ghost starts moving for souls to get saved and things like that, well, they're going to hate to give up all their teachings. Yeah, but they want to teach this person into the kingdom of God. Well, that person don't want to hear all that. You can't teach somebody into heaven. You can't preach them into heaven. You can offer them Christ. You can get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then there'll come a leading in their life. Now I look back on my own life. And I see the moving of God when I was 8 years old. I used to sit and I thought, well, I'm just making up this language. I thought back on it one time and I was just babbling away. And I looked back on it after I got saved and I said, you know something? I used to do something like that when I was like 7 and 8 years old. And I would go on for hours like that. And people say, what kind of language is that? And I'd just tell them it was this or that. But actually, I'm looking back on it and I thought, you know something? That was the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? I asked my mother about it. She says, you want to know something? My mother, the windmill. And I asked her, I said, windmill? No, I didn't call her that. I said, Mom, I said, now when you went to church and they had that holiness preaching back there, what happened back there in them Methodist churches? Well, she said, they'd get so full that they would start to get something coming up in their mouth. They didn't know what it was, and they'd cover their mouths up. Because what they were doing was speaking in tongues and didn't even know it. There has been a quenching in the spirit ever since the Puritan age when your forefathers were here. They'd cover their mouths up. Oh, they say it happened out there in California someplace. It happened right along all the way down through history, but people buried it and covered it up. Who knows what God is doing? Me, even in my young age like that, with all that, didn't know what it was. But whenever I got done and I did that, you know what? I felt real peaceful inside myself. It was right after that I had went to some altar at a Methodist church when they were into Jesus. Right after that, I started doing these things. Didn't even know what it was. Isn't God good? Doesn't God come after you? Oh, my. But anyway, those who work for Christ know how important it is to get away at times. And just get away all by yourself. But anyway, it was discouraging to this woman to know that the door was shut against her. Let me encourage some of you out there that might be knocking at Jesus' door. Keep right on knocking. Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever turn you down. No, he won't. I started looking at this woman. I said, what wonderful, wonderful woman this is. Her impudence is glorious. I mean, she even though that she feared, she said, he can't be hit. I want to see him. I must see him right now. I can see her raving outside the door and all these. There's Peter and John and James in there. No, you can't see him. He's at where he's weary. He needs the rest. My child is at home, but you can't see him. And then she throws herself into the fire and she throws herself into the water. And it's got to cease. I want to see him. I mean, she could be killed at any moment. I got to get in. I need help right now. My mother's heart is crying out, don't you understand? I've got to get in, and I won't rest until I see the great physician, and he can heal my child. And demons will have to flee in the name of Jesus. I know he will do it, and oh, hallelujah, let me in there. I'm getting a witness all over my body that he can do it, he must do it, he will do it. I know he will do it, I know he will do it. Let me in. And so she forces her way in the door. She shakes off Peter. And she straight arms John. And she sidesteps the James. And she throws open the curtain. And she falls at Jesus' feet. And he was standing right there by the curtain. Hearing the whole thing. And she cries out this, O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now let me go back to the 22nd and the 23rd verse and read it back. And she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. For she crieth after us. They were saying like this, will you please give her a blessing and let her go? Thou art seeking quiet here, and she won't have it, and we can't have any quiet either. I mean, we need rest, Lord. Now listen to this. Here was their very great mistake. She crieth after us. She was not crying after the others. She was crying after Jesus. She wasn't crying after the disciples. In verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now verse 25. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And I believe right then and there is where she pushed in. Lord, help me. And she pushed by all of them. And so all you people listening on the radio right now, be encouraged by this woman. keep on crying and keep on seeking for Jesus and be determined and be like this Canaanite woman, the outcast with demons mixed in. And just go right on seeking the Lord. Now, when I came to Christ, there was a seeking. I just saw him in the gutter. I got up out of the gutter, and I believe God got me out of the gutter. And I left the gutter, and I went into work, and I went into two jobs, and I went into business and a job. And I still was in the gutter, and I still was seeking Jesus, but I didn't know what I was seeking after. Say amen, somebody. And I kept right on. There was a seeking, and I used to tell guys, I said, somebody's after me. Something's after me. I'm supposed to be a preacher, or I'm supposed to be a teacher. I know it. There's something telling me I'm missing it. I'm supposed to be a preacher or a teacher. Now, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't care nothing about the Bible. But I knew that God was after me. And that's what I was seeking and didn't know it. Did you know sometimes you can be seeking after the Father and you don't even know it? That you can be seeking after Jesus and you don't even know it? You listening on the radio right now, you're down in the gutter. Maybe you're a prostitute. Maybe you're out there and you're a thief. Maybe you even murdered somebody and you're trying to cover it up. Do you know right now that you're seeking Jesus? You out there at Stillwater Prison, and you listening on that New York prison out there. Maybe you're in Poughkeepsie, New York out there, at that mental institution out there. Maybe you're at St. Peter. Maybe you're out there at St. Cloud. And I visited all them places, and I should have been in them a great share of my life. The only way I escaped was by keeping my mouth shut. You opened your mouth up, they found out you were crazy and threw you in there. You can get out of there. Them walls don't make you crazy. I'll tell you, this is the biggest nut house in the whole universe. It's called Planet Earth. Say amen, somebody. This is just one room of it down here in the north side. This is a mental ward. Say amen, somebody. Everybody that doesn't have Jesus is mental. And everybody that doesn't love that has Jesus, they're mental too. Say amen, somebody. That's just the way it is. It's one great big mental ward. Have you noticed it lately? My God, people are mental. They are. They are mental. I find myself being mental and I say, Jesus, I am a mental case today. You have got to help me out. I am totally psycho. Well, maybe you're just sorry you came here. Maybe you'll turn me off on the radio. You'll turn me back on because you want to find out what I'm going to say. So it's just don't want to miss nothing. Leave it on. You're nuts too. I said it. You know what I mean? See, and that's the way it is. And the whole Christian thing right now, we got a lot of mentals. But we don't want to be negative. We don't want to admit that we're having mental problems, see? And we just get sort of crazy, see? You know what? I'm glad I've been crazy most of my life. It kept me from getting insane. That make sense? See, there is an insanity going on, isn't there? This one is fighting with that one. That one is fighting with this one. This one's got some kind of a word, and they need 14 words themselves. My God, take care of yourself. And this one's something here and something there and something here. And you know what? It's causing a division in the body of Christ, and God ain't going to have no part of it. I'm so glad I'm stuck right down here snap dab in the middle of what people call nothing. My God, I'd rather be in nothing than be in something like that. Praise God for it anyway. And I'm going on no matter who goes with me. I'm going on down here. Praise the Lord. You people are in here. You go along with that? Praise God. I'll tell you, the more I get out there, the more I see, the more I'm dedicated to what I'm doing. Say amen, somebody. I'm just getting so dedicated right now. I tell you, hey, I am ready. I've already given my life, the physical part of it, but I'm talking about giving the whole thing over. You know what? It's just one great big garbage can. You think you've got to give up something? You listening on the radio right now? You think you give yourself, I'm going to give my life to you? You aren't giving nothing up. Don't try to run your own life. Praise the Lord. Give up our lousy lives to God. Let Him do something with them. Say amen, somebody. Amen. What does that mean? You mean my life? I give my life up. Well, what did you do this week with your life? Did you hurt somebody with it? Radio audience, did you hurt somebody? You didn't give up your life. You didn't give it up at all. Did you have to make a choice between a person and Jesus Christ? And you chose the person? You didn't give up your life. You know what it means, giving up your life? It means giving up your life. And what do you give up? Nothing. I got plenty of nothing. Nothing's plenty for me, oh, huh? Ooh, they got that song out now. Born in the USA, huh? Get born again into the house of God. Say amen, somebody. Getting crazier and crazier out there, and I think right now, in our church right now, there's a sickness. Talking about the body of Christ. Oh, how we need to get down on our hands and knees and say, God, I have not given up my life. I have not given my life up, Lord. I'm doing a work for you, Lord, but I'm complaining about it all the time. Preacher, oh, I'm preaching for God. And it's just so hard. Well, it's hard because you haven't given up your life. Say amen. God, it gets quiet. Hey, the radio's getting so quiet. Look how quiet they are now. How many are hearing this tonight? But she was crying after Jesus. And so I say, be encouraged. Cry out after the Lord, no matter what barriers are in your way. She did. She came in. She straight-armed one of them. She dashed one of them. And she pushed through. And she throws open the curtain. I mean, isn't this kind of bold? Would you go in and see God like that? That even when Jesus was hid from her by others, sometimes people can hide Jesus. No, you can't see him. Nope. Nope, got a curtain there. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? We hide Jesus. Can't see him. Well, we're closed right now. You can't see him now. He'll have to come back later. We're all done. See, we're on a time schedule here. And you'll just have to wait your turn. I'm sorry. Do you do that when you're street witnessing? No. But do you know what I mean? 10 o'clock, I'm sorry, I'm only down here 1 hour. But I'd come looking for Jesus. Didn't you tell me some kids came and they said that they wanted to know about Jesus? And they says, who is this Jesus? Was that it? Something like that, some kids? Well, what if you would have said, hey, it's 10 o'clock. My wife is going to give me the dickens if I don't get home. Aren't you willing to suffer for Jesus? What's a frying pan over your head anyway? Huh? No, I'm sorry. It's nigh on the 10 o'clock. Here, I hear the chimes now. Bye-bye. And she said within herself, I will see Jesus only. Now, what happens next? The woman's faith, I believe, was so great that our Lord was delighted to see it. And he wanted to see, I believe, how far it would go. And so he put her to yet another test, a further test. Sometimes when you do something and you seek the Lord and you get right up there, then God will put you to another test. See, your faith excites him. And he says, all right, you're right here at my feet and I'm going to give you another test. And so when she cried out, the Bible says, he refused her any answer. Now here you are, and you broke in through all these barriers. You broke in through the James Church and the John's Church and the Peter's Church, and you broke in through all these rituals, and you broke in through all these people that were trying to hide Jesus, and you throw open the curtain, and you fall down by God's feet, and you've made it to God. And you cry out, and he doesn't give you no answer. She had broken in to the privacy of the inner chamber. Imagine, Here she is, she's laying at his feet, and she prays a very appropriate, sweet prayer. It says that she expressed her faith, and she calls him Lord. Now, when you say Lord, you're worshiping. And so she did one thing right there. She cries out, Lord! And then she did something else, I noticed. She blessed the royal humanity. She called him Son of David. So she knew who he was. She knew the Bible. She knew the Bible more than the Pharisees and more than the Sadducees that told God that he better get in the Word because you don't eat corn. You don't heal on Sunday. You don't do things like this. You always wash your hands before you eat. And she knew that he was God. She knew that it was Jesus. She knew that he was Lord. And she calls out, Son of David. And then after that, she said something that really quickened in my heart. She said, have mercy on me. And she only asked for what? Mercy. Have mercy on me. That was the only plea that she used. Mercy, Lord, mercy. And Son of David, mercy. And yet this was, I don't know how to really put this. He answered her not a word. She did everything right, but I believe he was testing her, and he answered her not a word. Oh, I thought that's great. I love that. Some, it seems, are always seeking a word. He answered not a word. Isn't it funny how we always have a word for somebody and Jesus, God, sometimes doesn't answer us? I am so glad that God doesn't answer me at times because at least it isn't no. See, the not answering, he answered her not. That was his answer. No answer. It's a great answer. He didn't say anything. Many times when Jesus answers, you know what it is? With silence. You don't hear nothing. That's his answer. He always answers. He might answer you with silence. He answered her not a word. And so here we have the Word that spoke not a word. That was so unlike him. He who was always ready with responses to the cries of grief had no response for her. Not one word. Just like he was made out of stone. Stood right there just straight up. Scarcely even gave her a glance, I suppose. There she was, laying at his feet, begging. I mean, she had done the 100-yard dash to get in there and knocked bowl these guys over and got in there and thrown open the curtain and cried out, Lord, Son of David! Can you imagine yourself looking at God and waiting for an answer and getting none? After that bold entry? Oh, I think to myself what she might have given at that time if he would only answer her. And he didn't give her one thing. No answer. But should she give up in despair? No, there's the point. She still had faith in him. She still had faith. Even though she didn't hear anything with her ear, there was still something for her heart to believe. She's laying at his feet. He didn't answer her. She broke open into his room. She had been told he didn't want to see anybody. Did she have any type of despair? No. You out there in the radio audience, you've been crying out to Jesus. crying out for mercy the best that you know how. You've been crying out, Lord, maybe even you've said, Son of David. You've lain at his feet, you've wept, you've implored, you've begged for mercy, you have cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, and yet he has not answered you one single solitary word. Maybe you even went to hear the gospel, and after you heard the gospel, you felt worse than when you went in there. You've spoken to your Christian friends, and they weren't able to do a thing for you, and still you pray on and on and on. That's where I was at one time. I believed I was beyond saving. I really did. And after that I got saved, I came into a thing where I thought, you know what? God certainly can't love me. I went through 9 months of that. I could not totally receive that Jesus Christ loved me. No, I couldn't. You know, when I went into this church, when I first came to the realization of this, the Lord finally talked to me. There was a message come out that says, look unto me and be saved, all ends of the earth. And that did something. It quickened something in my heart. And at once the Lord spoke to me and he said, Paul, I take care of my own. At that particular day, I turned to the cross and I found peace through the blood. I still got it. I still got peace. So you keep right on seeking, you out there. I sought for a whole lot of years. I was 39 and a half years old, and I didn't know a lot of times I was seeking, but I was. Remember, there's no other door that you're going to knock at that's going to open up and give you salvation, so keep right on knocking. Now, you know, unless like you're in the woods. You're out in the woods, you know, and you see a light on in there, and you've walked for miles and miles and miles, and there's a light on inside. Wouldn't you keep knocking at that door until somebody answered it? You're cold and you're hungry. You got holes in your shoes and you're all wet. You keep right on knocking at that door. You out there that are in fits of despair right now, maybe you're near suicide. I don't know. But you keep right on knocking. Say amen, somebody. I'd like to have this speak to Christians today, too. I'll tell you why. Because I think right now it's a time to be knocking at the Lord's door. It's a time to seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. You know, Jesus isn't always going to answer right on time. You might think you're like a lot of little boys. When I was a little boy, I used to knock at doors and I'd run like everything. You know what I mean? You ever do that? Get up there and I'd knock and I'd run and I'd get behind some bushes and I would tee-hee and then they, you know, and then I'd go to the back door and a side door and a window and I would just, you know. Maybe Jesus thinks, well, maybe these are little boy knocks. Maybe they're just going to run away. So I'll see how serious they are. If they're grown-up knocks, they'll just keep right on knocking. They'll knock right up until the door opens up. Oh, yeah. I looked at this woman and I said, you know, this woman had a little further discouragement here. Because Jesus refused the prayers of his own apostles. They began to help her in prayer because she was not heard. They took some pity on her and they went to the master and it says, they said, please, Lord, send her away. She makes such a noise crying after us. In other words, answer her prayer and let's be done with it. So we can get to sleep. I thought to myself, many times I've asked other people to pray for me and I've had no results whatsoever. They ever asked somebody to pray, and that's all right, but have you ever asked somebody to pray and you never got any results at all? Sometimes they pray like the disciples, and they give a little dinky little prayer, you know, I'll pray for it, and they say, Lord, help them, and that's the end of it. No, you've got to keep on seeking for yourself, but you kept on. But anyway, next year, notice that in the answer to the apostle, the Lord Jesus gave her a very heavy rebuke, and he says like this, he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so that seemed to exclude her altogether. Maybe someone has told you that you're not one of God's elect. Well, that don't mean nothing. Just keep right on knocking. Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. Well, you're not one of God's elect, so you're never going to be saved. No, you just keep right on knocking. You know what? You elect people and you want chosen of God. You can choose to get other ones saved. Did you know that? You can choose. You that are chosen can choose. Those ones that are out there and say, well, I guess I'm not elected to be saved. Well, Jesus says, you go ahead and say, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. do the same as what this one. And you know what? You might even be a great big old fat goat, but you cry out to the Lord. And you say, Lord, help me. You want to know something? God is going to help you. He's going to turn down. No, you wish that none should perish. All should have everlasting life. Jesus loves to hear this. And he heard her prayer. All the while he heard her prayer. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Son of David. He heard it. But his heart was getting rest out of it. He fully intended to answer her. Oh, yes, he did. And such a blessed change from those hypocritical Pharisees and with all of their rubbish about washing all these pots and cups and junk. And she fully trusted in the Lord only. And all that just thrills my heart when I see somebody like that. And their distrust in Jesus Christ only. But lastly, now in closing this message, she kept on pleading until it prevailed, until the prayer was answered. Now we have the disciples, they had given up praying. She had received, let's go through this, a very severe rebuke from Jesus Christ. She continued to pray, Lord, help me. Even when she was getting no answer at all. Even when he told her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. In the original, I read it and it said the little dogs. Little dogs that get in and you pat them on the head. Don't even the crumbs, these little waggly things, these little dogs, don't they even get the crumbs that come off of the table? And Jesus said like this, what faith. And so he gave her the test of calling her a dog. But notice, she kept right on praying, whether she was a dog or no dog. She pressed forward all the more. No, she said like this, I am a dog, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Would you call that faith? You are a dog. I didn't come for dogs. You call a woman a dog now, you're in trouble. Is that right? And so tonight, let me encourage all you who feel cut off. Christ has never called you a dog. But he did this woman and she overcame. And all you have to do is receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. You that have received the gospel, it says, freely, freely I've given the gospel to you, freely, freely give it away. Well, I say the gospel, freely, freely I've given you life. That's the gospel. Come and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I think we ought to encourage everybody out there that God is not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. And they got to keep right on a knocking. Even those that think they're damned, even those that think that they're like the Canaanite woman out there. Just keep right on knocking. I know one thing. I'm knocking at Jesus' door for my particular ministry right now. I'm going to keep right on knocking. You know why? I know he's going to do something. Because I'm going to keep right on knocking. I'm going to keep right on trusting in the Lord. How many heard this message tonight? I'll tell you what. Keep right on a knocking. Born in the kingdom of God. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? And walk out of here without having the Lord. You listen on the radio. If you don't have Jesus, you better get him. Are you born again? Are you born again, sir? No. Let's pray with you right here. Let's pray with you right here. You want to grab his hand there, honey? And let's pray together and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. Now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge, peace, joy, and love. And, Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I'm saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you for this young man and his wife that have come. Where did you come from? Connecticut. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for these people who come from Connecticut. Have you got any kids? No. And we ask that you bless them now and take the heaviness that they may be feeling right now and give them faith, Lord. Hallelujah. Find them that job, Lord, as they just now knock on your door and say, Jesus, we have a need. And Lord, you just bless them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, now we got a couple here. Did you go down to the where we told you to go down? Did you get a place down there?
They couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it?
It wasn't there.
It disappeared, huh? Well,
I probably could.
Well. Okay.
So if you're